Welcome aboard Flash Jervis's train of thought, calling at Salisbury, Andover, Petticoat Junction, Animal Crossing, Hooterville, Bugtussle, Pixley, Crabwell Corners, and wherever Green Acres took place. I can't remember. Hayneville wasn't it, Stankwell Falls, Basingstoke, and London Waterloo, where this service will terminate.
You know, finding a quiet time to record is harder than I thought. But I have been thinking about it, which is half the battle, I guess. What I've got to do is stop thinking people want to know how tired I am. There are plenty of podcasts out there to put you to sleep. I'm doing this one to try and stay awake.
The next station is Greatley. This train will be calling at Facebook to pick up additional passengers. Any passengers traveling onward to Hayneville, Stankwell Falls, Basingstoke, and London Waterloo, please make sure you are traveling in the front three coaches only of this 6-coach train. Thank you, and please mind the gap between the computer and the internet.
Yeah, this section is about my train rants. My first one is there isn't a toilet on this end of the train. I didn't sit at the far end as I usually do, so they added 3 cars on just before we left Salisbury. But the space where the loo should be, the toilet, is just marked private. I don't know what's in there. It's probably lockers for the staff or train security or whatever. That's okay. But not when it's backed up against another section that doesn't have a toilet either. I don't want to be cars away from my baggage when I get up to go to the loo. I don't want to struggle past all those people with my luggage. I'm not that far from the station now, and no one would notice if someone got off with a backpack that they didn't get on with. And I don't think I need to go into why you don't want to take it with you into the toilet. You just gotta adapt, as they say. I mean, if I'm using my iPad, I'll take it in with me. Or a coat or something. There is actually hooks to hang things up, because you do not want to sit anything down in there that you don't want to sterilize immediately afterwards, if you can bear to breathe. But I digress.
Safety information is displayed in each coach. Please keep all personal items with you, and if you see anything suspicious, please report it to a member of staff. First class accommodations are available at the front and rear of the podcast. A trolley service selling drinks and light refreshments will be making its way through the train during our journey. Please try to keep the aisles clear to allow the trolley to pass through. I am currently situated in the rearmost coach if you have any questions or concerns. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about 3 pubs I had been to recently. The first is The Boot in Berwick, St. James. It was a small pub, but has an excellent website. Yes, I looked at that before we went, and it looked very intriguing, but physically it was kind of small. The staff seemed a bit drowsy, but we were the first in the door on a rainy Saturday, so maybe they weren't anticipating serving 3 people right away. Didn't really bother me that much. My food was good, and they carried Simmons cider, which was one of my favorites. It's a little stronger than it has to be, but it's got good flavor. I'm not sure where they would have the buffet they advertise on their website, but you could do a lot worse than this pub. I've seen them. For some place that's off the beaten path, it looks really nice, but they don't take to serving tourist food. I had a cheese and onion tart with rocket, and I wasn't even sure I was supposed to eat rocket, but apparently it's just like lettuce. And some sausage and mash for my main, a cappuccino on a follow-up, and I was well pleased. Part of the reason the pub's small is that the toilets are in a separate building, and the whole place looks like it might have originally been a stable or part of a farm. Gives it a bit of a unique look. I don't know if my dining companions were as pleased with it as I was, but I'll have to just assume that it was because they weren't drinking the Simmons cider. Don't get me wrong, one pint and I'm happy. 3 and I'm unconscious. Somewhere in the middle is the golden rule. Alright, well, I got an insert here that says I'm just reaching Andover and it might get too crowded to write. As it turned out, I was able to keep my seat all the way in. Got a lot written down, and I'm hoping that this sounds better because I have a script. I don't seem to be following it quite well. Shall we press on? The second pub is The Crown Inn in Avildsden. You'll have to look that one up, because it's way off the beaten path. but it looks every part the country pub. I'll include some web links, and I've already posted photos of the pub. Portions were good, and the staff was attentive, and they didn't hover. They had a pub dog which didn't beg. It mostly ran in and out, or had to lie down in the shady part of the room. There are low ceilings, but plenty of room out beyond the main area, and there's garden seating. It's the long way from the noise of a city pub, and well worth seeking out. They even have rooms if you want to stay longer. And the third one I want to mention is the Horse and Groom. See, I walk past three pubs on my way home each evening, but I've only stopped in one. The Horse and Groom, which I keep confusing in my head with the Coach and Horses, which is also in Salisbury, but not the same place. Not the same place at all. In fact, I don't even think I've been to the Coach and Horses. Just the sign stuck in my head. Sorry. The Horse and Groom looks a tiny bit more inviting than the other two I walked past, but it was just a touch dark and grim on the inside. They had Thatcher's Gold as their cider, which went a long way towards easing my doubts. The owner was there and asked how my cider and chips were, and I asked about the carvery on Sunday. He said it was all you could eat, and that I should bring a shovel. You can loosely translate that into a buffet, but most times there isn't repeat visits to the buffet to make it a buffet. Sorry. Whole different rant I'll deal with another time. If you get past the dark bench seats with the stained velvet covers and look around, it's kind of nice. It gets nicer the further back in you go. A surprise for being so close to a busy city road. There is seating for larger groups and parking by the door for disabled stickers. That's a bit of a rarity around here. I do want to go back, though I am not fond of the two old tired pub dogs that kept begging for food. I know it's tradition, but...
Attention, our scheduled arrival time in London Waterloo is 8:25 in the a.m. This train is formed of 6 coaches, however, due to the fact that the whole of the train cannot be accommodated at Bognor Regis. Upton Sinclair and Nether Wallop passengers wishing to alight at these stations must do so from the front 3 coaches. Additionally, allow me to bring your attention to the safety information displayed in all coaches. Please keep an eye on your personal items. If you see anything suspicious, please alert a member of staff.
Alright, that was pubs. What have I got next? Oh, okay. My daughter sent me a new iPhone case with a built-in keyboard. It's very much like the layout you would see on a BlackBerry. It Bluetooths to the iPhone. Shouldn't have any trouble with connecting it because it's practically touching the iPhone. I had to get used to the little shift and alt buttons, but I have to admit, there's been many a time recently where I've been trying to type using the on-screen keyboard and found my fingers were just too big. So having that extra tactile sensation helps, but what also might be helping is just the fact that it's slower. It's making me slow down and look at what I'm typing, and that helps a lot when you're doing passwords and such on such a tiny keyboard. The company's name is typokeyboards.com, and I believe I saw something in the news where that's an issue with BlackBerry, and they've been asked not to make that keyboard anymore. So it could be I've got one of the last ones. It's probably not the perfect solution, but it goes a long way towards keeping me more compatible with it. Plus, it's a sleeve that helps protect the phone. I think while I'm talking about iPhones, I want to mention two other things. One is I had a problem with the motion sensor recently. I think it might have been because I had two apps that were supposed to be monitoring my steps. I had one called Moves, and one that was step something. It was similar to the Map My Ride app, but for walking. And for the life of me, I can't remember its name, but I found that they were reporting to each other or something, and I got 163,000 steps on a day when 10,000 is normal for me. According to it, I had walked 23 miles in an 8-hour period, and it just kept escalating, and I thought I might have to reset the phone. But what I did was I deleted them both, shut the phone down, started it back up. In fact, I waited a while, finally got around to reinstalling one of the apps. I went with Moves because I like the trail that it gives me, where it's just very basic, started here, went here, transit here, transportation there, you know, and an overall walking, and it'll track many, many days in a simple layout. After reinstalling it, it seemed okay. I'll keep checking it. In fact, let me just do that right now. And it says, today I have already walked 4,415 steps. I walked for 20 minutes from home to place in Salisbury, which will be the rail station. I was on the train for an hour and 36 minutes, then walked 10 more minutes to the second train, rode that for 10 minutes, and then walked another 7 into the building. It's using sites that I've set up in Foursquare, or perhaps everyone has set up in Foursquare. I miss Foursquare, classic Foursquare. Recently, they've divided what Foursquare does into Foursquare and Swarm. Not being one of the cool kids with a lot of people following me and friends on Facebook, it's lost its single most interesting part for me, and that was becoming the mayor of some place by going there frequently and checking in. You can still be a mayor, but you're only mayor in your little world. You're not a global mayor. I was mayor of Salisbury Rail Station. Anyone else using Foursquare checked in, saw a note saying, Flash Jervis is mayor. That ain't true anymore. Only my friends see me as mayor. Everybody else's friends, they can have a mayor of Salisbury Station as well. So I tried them both for a while, but it became quite clear that the reason for Swarm was just to show people where you were. And nobody's tracking me that I'm aware of. I only know 3 other people that were ever using Foursquare. So it doesn't work for me in my insulated little world. Plus, none of those other 2 people were in the same location anyway. So when I use Swarm, they're nowhere near me. I don't really need to know that they've gone to the Chinese buffet 3,400 miles away from me. Kind of hurts my feelings. So I have to give them up. Those were 2 apps that I think cancel each other out. So I'll watch and see what else I can pick up in place of Foursquare, but it will probably be some Facebook plugin that I won't want to use either. I guess that sounds like a good iPhone rant. I have a short one for you about the iPhone Siri function. The UK voice, the English voice for the iPhone, is a male voice, and it reminded me a tiny bit of the Jarvis AI that Tony Stark uses in the Iron Man movies. So I thought it was kind of cool, and I was using it to find my directions around Salisbury. A little headset plugged in, not really talking on anything, just listening to it tell me directions, because I can't look at the screen and I can't hear it very well without headphones. I understand now that that might be tempting fate because cell phone usage is illegal. I don't even want to look like I'm using the cell phone. I don't even have a license to drive in England yet. Still using my American one. Separate rant. Paragraph, paragraph. So, I give up trying to follow directions on it because it turns out the compass needed calibrating, and I'm not going to be able to calibrate compasses between roundabouts driving through Salisbury. So I just told it to take me home. Surely it knew directions to home. But no. I get a voice telling me,
I don't know who you are and I don't know where home is.
That's pretty stroppy for a phone, don't you think? Went on to tell me to go into contacts and select the location as home and tell Siri who I am and what to call me, you know, those sort of things. I had probably done that ages ago when I first got the phone, but I have done resets and such recently, as I just mentioned, and it's forgotten who I am. I am your master. I wonder what Tony Stark would do if his suit of armor suddenly said, I don't know who you are, and I don't know where home is. Was that 3 or was that 2? Motion sensor problems, 2 apps cancel each other out, and the iPhone. Remind me to tell you about voices on the Mac. Here's your bonus one. As you heard in the intro, I had this Scottish voice reading Welcome to Flash's Train of Thought. That's the text-to-speech program on Mac OS, where you can download dozens of voices, and one of which is Scottish, one is Irish, you can have an Indian one, you can have UK English, Australian, Turkish if you want. There's a few, what, maybe 5 already installed. Just wake up my Mac here. I think I can take a quick look for you and tell you how many actually are there. You go to dictation and speech, you choose customize, and let's see, there's 3, 6, 7, 8, 9 U.S. female, 6 U.S. male, and the, all of those novelty voices that earlier OSs had, you know, Arabic, Chinese, Dutch, English, Australian, English Indian, English Irish, English Scottish, South African, and then 4 other ones that are still UK, and it goes on and on and on. I never knew that there were so many choices. You have to be connected to the internet to download the additional voices, but that's really cool.
CCTV video is being recorded at all times for your safety and security. First class accommodation is available at the front and rear of the podcast. Quiet zones similarly so. These are denoted by labels affixed to the carriage windows where in effect, and may I ask passengers using the facilities to have regard for their fellow commuters. The next stop is Cumbisset.
The sun is up and waiting on me by 5 a.m., and there isn't a place you can sit on the train where the sun will be out of your eyes for the whole trip. The train meanders a bit on its way to London, but I imagine a straighter course would be easier to pick a seat. So I've done the second best thing and moved to what passes for a corner on the coach, and I keep my sunglasses handy. Oddly, you don't see many people with sunglasses as you'd think, mostly tourists. Same goes for umbrellas. I occasionally see people in their suits carry a brolly, but the expectation I brought with me is that the train would be full of umbrellas and bowler hats. Not so much. The corner seat also minimizes the viewing public. Just recently I had an experience where I had at least 6 people standing around me that could see my screen, and I'm just a bit shy about it, especially when I'm talking about things going on the train or things I've already experienced. Gosh, it makes me angry to even think about it. I had a train delay of over an hour on Friday. I was on the 4:50, plenty early, but it was surprisingly already crowded. I got a seat at a table which left just one seat empty next to me, closer to the window. But the train did not leave on time and more people kept trickling in. I was on the very last coach, so there wasn't any room to go further down the train because you were as far out as you could get. And there was even less room to turn around and go back through the coaches. Now, I've become a bit stoic about these things, and I just put on my earbuds and started to check my mail when a plastic bag sailed over the back of the seat in front of me and crashed into the window and slid down into the seat by me. I jumped up thinking I was about to be sucked into some kind of mob violence, but it was just a lady halfway down the car trying to claim that seat before someone ahead of her sat there. When she got to me, I let her in and quipped to her that a nudge on the shoulder would have been less shocking. But I suppose that's one tactic, because we were already 47 minutes late and had overlapped onto the next departure. I had seriously debated getting off and going to the next train's platform, but it was a good thing I didn't, because it turns out there was a trespasser on the tracks, and they had to cut the power to all of them so he wouldn't be electrocuted, and so law enforcement officers could escort him off. That stopped traffic both into and out of Waterloo Station for all trains for nearly an hour. When we were finally given the go-ahead, the guard came on the speakers and said,
"This is your guard speaking. Once again, we apologize for the delay. The trespasser on the tracks has been tasered and removed. We will be leaving the station shortly. Thank you."
This was met with clapping and cheers. When we finally left the station, we didn't go far because there were incoming trains that needed to get past as well. Things didn't get much better for the people already standing in the aisles because more people got on at Clapham Junction, which is barely 2 miles away from Waterloo. There was some shouting to move down in the coach and some people shouting back that there was nowhere to move down to. And to add to the fun, there was about 8 school kids, all around 12 or so, that insisted on going to the toilet in pairs, and were constantly back and forth, squeezing past people who were standing in the aisles, and some with luggage and nowhere else to go. I think they were trying to ride-share the seats or something. No one checked tickets that day because the guard knows better than to try and squeeze through and to be mixed in with all the grumpy passengers that would focus on him as the source of their irritation. Even when we got to Basingstoke and Andover, where usually a lot of people get off, it didn't do much to relieve the pressure. Neither did the further announcement that because the train was delayed 1 hour and 15 minutes, everyone would have to get off the train in Salisbury and board another one that was to arrive 15 minutes later. I noticed on the departure board that the 4:50 train, which was 75 minutes late, was now labeled the 5:20 train and only 6 minutes late. It's all in your perception, I believe. I think that gives them an out to avoid paying for delays, but I will file anyway. That's not the worst trip I've had on Southwest trains, but I'll save that for another episode. Boy, I may do a whole episode just on that one thing.
This is your guard speaking. You may have noticed our progress into Netherwallop has slowed considerably. This is due to leaves on the line causing a low friction area on the tracks. It has been requested that we stand here until a rail services vehicle arrives to blow away any leaves or debris from the tracks. The next station will be Upper Wishford. Eventually.
Okay, this section is about some podcasts that I would like to pimp, as they say. No, really, they do. It's not like we're trendy or anything. We just trade off. I mention you, you mention me, whatever. Maybe this one, if I ever release to iTunes, will be one that somebody else will find by a pimp somebody else gave me. Anyway, there's three I wanted to mention. One of them is called TBTL, or Too Beautiful to Live. And it's a podcast that's got thousands of episodes already recorded. I really enjoy the casual nature and openness of it. Luke Burbank, that's a name you might know from listening to NPR, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or Seattle Radio. He gets around a bit. He has a lot of loyal listeners, tens of listeners even, just to show you they don't get up in airs on that podcast. I started listening when his producer was in Indiana and used the nickname Flash. She was an interesting dynamic on the podcast, and her guest spots now are interesting in contrast to Luke's current co-host, Andrew Walsh, tbtl.net. I'm not sure if he's still the producer, since he has his own gig in radio now. Sounds like a lot... They sound a lot like me, and the two guys together talk about trying to make a bit of sense out of this crazy old world, and it's entertaining. I would hope that my podcast would be like that someday. Well, look at that. 1,630 episodes in a collector series. They don't take themselves too seriously, folks. Honestly, they don't. Okay, number two is, well, it's a group of podcasts, actually. It's not just one. Although, I did start listening when Scott Johnson only had one podcast. But now his flagship podcast, I suppose you'd call it, is TMS, or The Morning Stream. And he's just become this podcasting giant. It's what he does full-time. And from the early success of his Warcraft podcast, The Instance, and ELR, Extra Life Radio, he's built up more than a dozen other podcasts about gaming, films, technology, even cooking. Plus, he's got a very good personal podcast just about his life. Other podcasters with their own mad skills have wisely joined him on the Frog Pants Network. Everyone knows everybody. There's call-outs and references to each person's project. He even has a convention just for people who are fans of all of his podcasts. Not that anybody else isn't invited. Sure, it's just geeks everywhere, but mainly you go there to hear about podcasting from Scott and his close cadre of fellow podcasters. He speaks frankly about his family. He isn't ashamed to admit it when he doesn't know something or mispronounces names and places. It's got a very popular live streaming audience as well, and Facebook. If I have anything negative to say about Scott, it's just impossible to keep up. I don't know how he does it. I missed a few episodes over the Christmas break, and I'm still behind in June. If you can't find a place in a podcast you like from Scott Johnson, you're so niche you're meta. Hey, can I have that on a t-shirt, Scott? And thirdly, it's probably the one that inspired me to come back to my podcast after 5 years, and that's the Nobody's Listening. I heard about Nobody's Listening when I was listening to Extra Life Radio from Scott, and I was saddened when James took a hiatus to deal with some personal issues. But he's back, and while his podcasts have a clean label, it doesn't mean they're not interesting. He has a talent and the gift of gab, and it shows us. His cohorts are always close friends or family. In fact, he does podcasts with his young children. And I think he made that Axe Cop the phenomenon it is today. I'm glad to sponsor anything he does. He reminds me of me if podcasting had existed when my kids were little.
We are now approaching our final stop, London Waterloo. Please try not to trample anyone as you make a mad dash for the ticketing area. We know you have a choice in podcast-based rants and appreciate your patronage thus far. Thank you, and please mind the gap between computer and internet.
They always have someone exhibiting in the forecourt of Waterloo. Last week there was a virtual football pitch, you know, soccer goal. And before that, there was some kind of archery exhibit. I've even seen a small forest pop up there. Marching bands aren't unusual either. I wonder what today will bring. I think I'll finish up with just a bit from Nicholas, where we were talking about an email I got from Indiana Bill. And he wrote me this. He says, first class mail to the UK is pretty quick these days. No more slow boats to England. I'm getting ready for Howard Days, and because we're driving, I can throw a bunch of stuff into the Matrix. And I did a double take there, and then I remembered Cheryl had bought a Matrix as her replacement car. Not the Matrix, capital T. I decided it was time to start downsizing my Howard collection. I've got stuff in boxes I haven't looked at in 10 years or so, and I can get some dough for my troubles. The foundation, that's the Robert E. Howard Foundation, is in the process of printing everything that used to be only found in chapbooks and fanzines, so I might as well take advantage. With all the Howard Facebook pages popping up, newbies are posting photos of their collection. The Pikers, I've forgotten about more stuff in my collection than they'll ever have. Still, it's been fun educating the noobs. I took one guy to task over some comments he made about Novel and Price, and he folded like a chair in a church basement. That was a big build-up, but I love that line. That's so Indiana Bill.
This is awesome.
I don't know, I might just close my eyes for the last bit of this train ride. All change.
Whoa, whoa. Lots of curves, you bet. And even more when you get to the junction.
They always have someone exhibiting in the forecourt of Waterloo. Last week there was a virtual football pitch, you know, soccer goal. And before that, there was some kind of archery exhibit. I've even seen a small forest pop up there. Marching bands aren't unusual either. I wonder what today will
bring. Think
I'll
finish up with just a bit from
Nicholas, where we were talking about an email I got from Indiana Bill. While I was sitting here trying to stay awake, I wrote sort of a haiku. Let's see if I can read it in, I don't know, what's haiku style. But it's 575, I think, is how the syllables go. All right, anyway, here it is. Mother always said, just a few lines to say hello. Say hello, Mother. I don't know. I might just close my eyes for the last bit of this train ride.
London, Waterloo, final stop. I'll change.